and works in order to stand a chance of heaven. Now, Martin Luther stood against that, and he declared that simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for anyone, whoever they are, to be made right with God. And what Luther didn't like about this epistle was the emphasis that James seems to have on doing things. The word that we have in the English version is works. And it was this emphasis on works that troubled Martin Luther. So let's think together then about a key, a way of opening up this epistle so that we don't fall into the trap of thinking that we can be made right with God by our works, or the trap that we think it doesn't matter how we are to live. So I want to begin with one verse, and it's in chapter 1, and it's verse 22. So let's start here then in our study in this epistle. James 1 and verse 22. James writes this: "Be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves." So we're going to find a key to unlock this book. We are going to then take a look at the danger that James highlights if we don't understand this book aright and we don't do what he urges us to do. And then the third thing we look at is how can we do what James requires of us. So let's come to God and let's ask him to help us with his word. What's the key then to unlock this book? I want to just take a few minutes to underline what I think is the key. We had a, I don't know what the word is really, whether it's a forerun or a rehearsal last Monday in our prayer meeting. The key to this book as I see it is the idea that what we believe in, or should I say who we believe in, is reflected in how we behave. James tells us there is a link between belief and behavior. So if you want to put it another way, our behavior should reflect what we believe. There is no separation, as far as James is concerned, between what we believe and what we do. And what we'll see in the weeks to come is James will lay out for us a whole series of challenges. And these challenges we come to with our belief in God and our behavior reflecting that belief. So I want you to be clear then. I'm not going to look at this book with you and say, you've got to do things, because that's not how it works. That's not how the New Testament works. James is saying that what we believe will be expressed by means of how we behave. So look again at verse 22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, some of us find it very difficult just to be hearers. And we've all confessed to each other that on a Sunday, when the sermon is preached, it's so easy, isn't it, to find our thoughts somewhere else. It's very easy to lose concentration. So there are difficulties with hearing. But what James is telling us here is that it's not hearing as such, it's believing. What you believe is to affect the way that you live. So let me show you some of the situations that he has in mind. In chapter 1, he's dealing with the subject of suffering, trials. So look at the opening verse, verse 2 if you like. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So the whole of chapter 1 is a meditation on the subject of trials. And James is simply saying, what you believe will shape the way you behave when there are trials. And then in chapter 2, look at what he's talking about there. He's talking about church life. What you believe will shape the way you behave in church, chapter 2. And then he goes into chapter 3 and he's dealing with the most challenging subject of all in chapter 3. And as you look at chapter 3 tonight, you're all going to say, oh, he's talking about the tongue. And it does look like that, doesn't it? But what James is doing in chapter 3 is he's telling us about our hearts. What we believe is to affect our hearts. And the words that come out of our mouths are an expression of the condition of our hearts. So do you see the way that this epistle is meant to be understood? He'll then go on to talk about the attitude we should have to our money, our attitude to our job, how we think about the future, how we think about illness. So he's laying out for us a whole series of challenges. And this is his key idea. Our belief shapes our behavior. I like the other way around. Our behavior is an expression of what we believe. That's the key, I think, to understanding this book. So I try to show you what the challenges are, and we are going to begin next Sunday by looking at how James outlines our beliefs. And I don't know if you've noticed before when you've come to the book of James, but he has some wonderful expressions of our faith. He tells us some wonderful things about God. He tells us some wonderful things about Jesus. So we'll start with the question, what do we believe? And we'll spend several weeks looking at James's expression of faith. And it's only when we've done that that we'll have laid the ground ready to think about how what we believe shapes our behavior. So, verse 22 then is the link between belief and behavior. That's the key, as I see it, to this book. So why is it important to take some time out of our lives, study this book together? Why do we need to examine the relationship between belief and behavior? Can I give you two reasons? And the first reason is quite a startling reason, I think. It's in chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles open, turn to chapter 2 and tell me, what do you make of verse 19? Listen to verse 19. James writes, you believe that there is one God. Well done, he says. Even the demons believe and tremble. What James is saying there is, even the demons show what it's like to believe and to behave. They believe in God and they tremble at the thought of God. Now, if a demon can show a relationship between belief and behavior, how much more should the people of God show a relationship between belief and behavior? Most of you will know, I think, that the techniques that the writers use in the New Testament to make their point. And verse 19 of chapter 2 is an example of what's called going from the lesser to the greater. It's a technique of making your point. So if the demons believe and tremble, and they're much less than we are, how much more then should our behavior be an expression of what we believe as the people of God? So we are much better than demons. So therefore, our behavior should express what we believe. That's the first reason. And then the second was in our reading earlier. Turn back to chapter 1. And there's a verse there that I think is really important. And James uses a word that is very rare in the New Testament. And the verse I'm thinking about is verse 8. James will use this phrase twice in his epistle. James 1 and verse 8. He says, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We must show what we believe, or we'll be double-minded men and women. We'll be unstable in all our ways. So let's go back to last Monday in prayer meeting. And we were talking in prayer meeting about why it is, as Christian people, we believe in God, we believe in his promises, we believe in Jesus, but why is it then when trouble comes, we forget what we believe and we fall apart? Why does that happen? Here's your answer, James 1 and verse 8. It's double-mindedness. The Greek word is a wonderful Greek word. It means to have two minds at the same time. And if you have two minds, actually, the word itself means to have two hearts at the same time. So it's the idea that we are divided. We think one thing on the one hand, and then another thing on the other hand. We know one thing, but we do another. We understand what God has said, but we still panic. That's the idea of James 1 and verse 8. It's as if our knowledge of God flies out of the window when we're in trouble, when there's a challenge. And what we then do is we act as if we don't know God at all. That's what double-mindedness means. Let's have a look at the second time James uses this phrase. Turn across to chapter 4, and you'll see exactly the same idea in verse 8 of chapter 4. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. And there it is, you double-minded. So I'm going to take another second just to repeat what we've said. There is meant to be a relationship between what you believe and how you behave. When that relationship is broken, we are double-minded. We are acting as if we are two people. We are the Christian on the one hand and the non-Christian on the other. We are somebody who has a relationship with God on the one hand, but we act as if we're on our own. We've got God promising us so much on the one hand, promising us grace, and then on the other, we act as if we've got no resources and we're on our own. Now, do you see the idea of double-mindedness? It's this idea of being split or doubled so that you are torn. There's a conflict. There's a contradiction between what we believe and what we do. Now, this is James' great concern. If we are to be stable, if our lives are not meant to be up and down, if we are not going to be okay 1 minute and not very good the next, if our lives are to have this level, even quality to them, then we need a relationship between what we believe and how we behave. I'm hoping you're seeing this, because if we lose sight of this, this epistle can just become a big stick to beat ourselves with. And that's never a good idea. It could be a stick to beat each other with, which would be even worse. So keep in mind then this central idea of the relationship between belief and behavior. Our behavior at home, in work, in the church, our behavior in relation to trials, the future, name whatever you want, our behavior reflects our belief. And if that's the case, then we are not like the demons, and we are not double-minded. We won't be living like people with two heads or two hearts, a contradiction running through our lives. So let's come to the third thing I want to talk to you about tonight. And that's the question, how are we going to do this? How are we going to have a relationship between belief and behavior? Because if you're like me, you'll be somebody who believes in God, you believe in the Word of God, you believe in the salvation that is yours through Jesus Christ. You'll believe everything that God says to you. But so often, our behavior does not reflect that. Now, if you're like me then, you'll want to know how. How can I make my behavior an expression of my belief? How are we going to do it? And what James does in chapter 1 and in chapter 3 is he tells you how. And I think this subject is so important that we are going to spend one Sunday looking at this subject, because it's a subject not just that James is keen on, but Paul the Apostle is equally keen on. Can you spot the subject? Turn to chapter 1 and I'll read the verses and you'll be able to see how. How can we cause our belief to be expressed in our behavior? How can we do it? Well, here in chapter 1. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. So what's the subject then? What's the key? Go across to chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his behavior that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This form of wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Well, what's the answer? How are we going to learn the relationship between belief and behavior? And the answer is wisdom. We need wisdom to be able to express our beliefs through our behavior. And what James has done in chapter 1 is he's jumped in the deep end. As the chapter opens, he's talking about trials. And most of you will know, verse 2 has a Greek word that means multicolored, like Joseph's coat in the Old Testament. So James jumps in and he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into multicolored trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So here's James now. He's just getting straight to the point. Your behavior in the face of trials reflects what you believe, brethren. And he's saying this. Isn't that true, brethren? That what we believe in, we show our belief in the face of trials. But what he then does is he stops himself and he remembers that it's only possible for your behavior to reflect your belief when you've had wisdom. So he comes to verse 5 and he then stops and says, "Now if anyone is having trouble behaving in a way that reflects who you believe in, ask for wisdom from God." And so wisdom is the key to that relationship between belief and behavior. And you'll all know, as well as I know, that James is a book of wisdom. It's the New Testament book of wisdom. And often in our prayer meeting, we remind ourselves of the different kinds of books in our Bibles. And there's wisdom literature throughout our Bibles. In the Old Testament, you've got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms that talk about wisdom. And here's the New Testament equivalent, the book of James. And wisdom in the Bible, it's not an intellectual exercise. Wisdom in the Bible isn't about facts that you can read in a book. Wisdom is about living. How to live. That's the great subject that wisdom is concerned with. How, as human beings, can we live in a world that is so troubled? How do we live with all the pressures of life bearing down upon us? How do we live when family life can be such a heartbreak as well as a joy? How do we live when society is unraveling all around us? How do we live? And that's wisdom. It's concerned with how you live. And so James is saying, how does a Christian live? A Christian's behavior is an expression of her beliefs. We live by demonstrating our beliefs. Our lives are an expression of who we believe in, what he's done for us, what's true about him. Our lives are a reflection of our beliefs. That's James and his wisdom. And so he appeals to us. If we lack wisdom, which of course we do, We ask God for it. And then in chapter 3, those verses we read earlier, James makes a clear distinction between the wisdom of this world and that which comes from God. And that's the same distinction Paul makes in his first epistle to the Corinthians. The wisdom of this world. And I want to end tonight with this idea. Part of the reason why we are double-minded is because we have the wisdom of this world and we look so often at life through the wisdom of this world rather than looking at life through the wisdom which comes from God. And so you and I, without even knowing it, we are so used to thinking about things just like everybody else does. We think about life and home and work in exactly the same way as everyone else does. So here's James now appealing to us to ask God for wisdom so that our everyday experience is an expression of our belief in God. So let me map things out for you, and then hopefully all of us will know where we're going on a Sunday. Next Sunday, then, we're going to look at what James tells us about God. Let's start with our beliefs. So next Sunday, then, we'll be taking the verse we've mentioned, verse 5. We'll be exploring what it means to believe in a God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. That's the God we believe in. A generous God. A God who loves to give. And when God gives, he gives without conditions and he gives without favorites. That's what we believe. And then in the weeks to come, we'll go down to verse 17 and we'll see what that verse tells us about God. And so on throughout the epistle, we'll be extracting our beliefs first. And it's only when we've done that that we'll be ready to think about wisdom, and then we'll be in the right position to start thinking about how our belief is to be expressed through the way that we behave. Well, let's turn to our hymn book, shall we?